Well, hello, good morning, and welcome to our live broadcast from Bethany Free Presbyterian Church here in Portadown on this final Sabbath of November. We're back to live broadcasting for the next 2 weeks with no congregation due to the present government restrictions, which our presbytery has agreed to abide by, and therefore we are broadcasting today and next week at the usual times, 11:30 and 7 p.m. Here from the church. We want to welcome you, want to thank you for tuning in, and we trust that the broadcast will be a blessing to your soul. Nothing can take the place of public worship and the people of God assembling together publicly to worship the Lord. But we trust that the broadcast, the ministry of the word, the hymns that we play will be a blessing to your soul. And we're going to commence this morning by listening to a lovely hymn that should lift our hearts. It's entitled, Days Are Filled With Sorrow and Care. And how true that is. Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. But the hymn goes on to say, burdens are lifted at Calvary and Jesus is very near. And praise God that the burdens of life and primarily the burden of sin is lifted through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. So do listen in. Feel free to join in the singing as you are at home. And may the Lord bless this hymn to our hearts. unite our hearts together in prayer at the throne of grace just now. Let us pray. Our gracious and eternal Father in heaven, we do thank you that burdens are lifted at Calvary, and we thank you for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is always and ever near. We rejoice in his words of promise when he said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." We think of his words to the apostles just before he ascended into heaven when he said, "Lo, I am with you always." And we thank you for the near presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, in the difficult and trying, perplexing circumstances of life, we do pray that thy dear children, each and every one of them, will be very aware of the presence of the Saviour, guiding them, encouraging them, and blessing them. We thank you, Lord, that he is leading us to an expected end, for he will be our guide even unto death. And we thank you, Lord, that then he shall receive our souls into glory. We thank you that we can sing with a hymn, "We're going home to glory soon, to see the city bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven, and to bask in God's own light." Help us, like Abraham, to have our eyes fixed on the eternal city, that city, Lord, which hath foundations, whose maker and builder is God. Help us, Lord, to recognize day by day that this world is not our home. It is temporal. It is fleeting. It is passing. And one day it shall be no more. And even, Lord, these bodies of ours, we recognize that, Lord, they are frail, they are weak, they are prone to sickness and illness. Our mind is prone, Lord, to being up or down. But we thank you that we're on a journey that will end in a glorified, perfected body where, Lord, we will not have the effects of sin or the old man anymore. And we look forward to that time when we shall forever be with the Lord, glorified in body, soul, and spirit, to dwell in perfection, peace, and happiness forever and ever. And so today, Lord, we pray that thou wilt encourage thy children. We find ourselves back in these strange, unusual, and we have to say, Lord, unsatisfying circumstances where we're broadcasting in virtually an empty church to the people of God at home. We acknowledge that, Lord, nothing can take the place of public worship. But we do thank you for the means that we have of broadcasting a live service of such, even to the people of God. And we pray today that thou wilt be pleased to draw near, undertake in this service as we read the scriptures, as we listen to the hymns, as Carol will sing, and then I will preach and expound the word. May it be a word in season for the souls of thy dear children, and may it encourage them and bless them this day. We do want to commit to thee again those that are sick and led aside. We particularly pray, Lord, for those who are seriously ill, some through or because or linked to the coronavirus pandemic. We ask that thou will be with them, and if it please thee, touch them and raise them to their former health once more. We ask thee also, Lord, that thou will bless and undertake for the senior citizens, many of them particularly those who are abiding in care homes or nursing homes. Lord, they haven't seen their families for such a long time, and it's so difficult for them. We pray that these faithful believers of many years will know the cheer and the help and the presence of Christ, even, Lord, as they miss the visits of their loved ones. We pray too for those that mourn. We want to pray again for the Richardson and bring families. Lord, it was only last week that we were sympathizing with them in the passing of their brother Freddie. And now this week, another bereavement has come to the home in the passing of their brother Nat. And Father, for Doreen and Tommy and for Jackie, Lord, for the entire Richardson family, we would remember Millicent as well, and the large family circle. We pray that the comfort and the grace and the peace of the Lord will be with them. They've lost four siblings this year, and Father, how grieving and sad their hearts must be. May Jesus himself draw near And may He give comfort, help and strength, even at this difficult time. We want to pray also, Lord, for the situation in our country and in this world. We realize, Lord, that Thou art in control of all things. And we do believe with all of our hearts that, Lord, this pestilence, this virus, Lord, it's one that generally is spoken of in Scripture in the sense that from the first to the second coming of Christ, we know that there would be wars, there would be famines, there would be earthquakes, and there would be pestilences. We believe also, Lord, that it is a mark of the chastening hand of God upon the nations and the governments for their legislating of sin and wickedness. But we pray, Father, that in wrath Thou wilt remember mercy, that Thou wilt speak to individuals, that Thou wilt humble souls, bring them to faith in Christ. And Lord, we pray that in time Thou wilt remove this virus by one means or another. And Father, that we might know Thy blessing once more, that we may evangelize and have a public witness as we did previously. We do pray for the church, protect it, preserve it, bless it even in these days, and bring us, Lord, to the place where we will be able to have that public ministry and all the various evangelistic endeavors that we had prior to this pandemic. We commit these things to Thee, praying that Thou wilt forgive us of our sins, wash us afresh in the blood of Christ, and fill us with Thy Spirit. Help us to live for Thee, and Lord, help us to walk with Christ, and bless the remainder of this service, because we pray this for Christ's glory and in the Saviour's name. Amen. Amen. Our Bible reading this morning is taken from the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation and the first chapter. Revelation chapter 1. We're going to read from verse 9 and read to the end of the chapter. Revelation chapter 1 and reading from verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou seest, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Amen. And we trust and pray that the Lord will add His own blessing to the public reading of His inspired and His precious word. This stage of the service, let me mention to you the announcements. We do welcome you, those that are tuning in over sermon audio or perhaps via the Facebook page to this, our morning service from Bethany Free Presbyterian Church. And as I said at the commencement, due to the present restrictions in relation to COVID-19, our broadcast this week and next week will be live and the church will remain closed. So please remember that tonight at 7 o'clock, the usual starting time of our evening service, we will be broadcasting again this evening, the service here from Bethany. And again, you can tune in via sermon audio or the Facebook page. Tonight, our soloist will be Miss Claudia Jeffers, and the preacher will be our student assistant, Mr. Stephen Nelson. I will be here this evening to lead the service. Now, on Wednesday night, via our Facebook page, there will be a Bible study message and a call to prayer. We would encourage you to set aside the hour on Wednesday night from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. Now, I had been going through on a Wednesday night the book of 1 Thessalonians. I did indicate last Sunday that we may just pause with that, and I think we will do that. There are those that come very faithfully every Wednesday night who don't have access to the Facebook page, and we'll just pause our studies in 1 Thessalonians, and I will bring, I'm going to bring two messages over the next two Wednesday nights from Luke chapter 24 in the verse 27, where the Saviour expounded the scriptures. And it's really a little, it's two messages entitled The Saviour and the Scriptures. So if you can tune in on Wednesday evening for that Bible study, and I will lead in prayer, and we encourage you then to have a short season of prayer at home on Wednesday evening. Now, there's no other services then until next Lord's Day, the first Sabbath of December. Again, we will be broadcasting live at 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Can we also mention to the children of the congregation, do remember FPC Kids, and there are weekly broadcasts on a Sunday morning and also on a Friday evening. You can access that via Facebook or YouTube. Now, the next scheduled meeting here in the church will be on the 11th. That's a Friday night. The restrictions lift at midnight on Thursday evening, Friday morning, the 11th. And so on the Friday evening, the 11th, we're planning to have the combined Sunday school and children's meeting, and that will be the last meeting before Christmas. So encourage the parents to set that night aside and get the children along. That's on the 11th. And then our Sunday services open to the public again, God willing, on the 13th of December. That is always the annual offering day for Portadown Independent Christian School. And on that Sunday night, we will be having not the whole school. We can't do that this year with the social distancing here in the church, but there will be a small representation of children from the school on the 13th of December to take part at the evening service with song and Bible readings, and a retiring offering on the 13th of December after both services for our Christian school. And then on Sunday the 20th, can I mention that? Because today actually was supposed to be the offering for the Bethany Missionary Fund, and because our services are online, we had to postpone that, but the Bethany Missionary Fund offering will be received on the 20th of December, and that Missionary Fund supports those from Bethany who are full-time in the Lord's work. So do please remember that. There's one other announcement we have to make. We're very saddened this week, and our heart really does go out to the Breen and Richardson families, because just last Sunday we sympathised to Doreen Breen and Jackie Richardson, and we should include Millicent Richardson in that as well. Jackie and Doreen's brother Freddie had passed away, a brother-in-law of Millicent, and then this week we just heard that another brother, Nat, who was well known within the town, passed away as well. This family has lost four siblings in this past 12 months, and our heart breaks for them, but we trust that the comfort and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ will be known to them, even at this particularly sad and difficult time. Before we have the preaching of the word, Mrs. Abernethy is going to bring two messages in song, and we'll ask her to do that now.
From every
Well, we do thank Carol for ministering those pieces to us in song. I was getting the look as she came up to the pulpit because I give her official title of Miss Abernathy. So I just thank Carol for singing this morning. I trust the Lord will bless those pieces to your hearts. I also want to thank Gillian McMurray for coming in to play for Carol this morning. Now, we're going to turn again in the word of the Lord to the book of the Revelation. And when you find the place at home there, we'll just take a moment, we'll pause, be still, and we'll pray for the Lord's blessing now upon the preaching and the ministry of the word. Our gracious and eternal Father in heaven, we do thank thee for what has gone already this morning. We thank you for the congregational hymn that we listen to, for the reading of Scripture, and for the soloist. We pray now that as we come to the most important time in our service, that thou wilt bless the preaching of the word to our hearts. Lord, to this end, fill me with the Holy Ghost. May I be able to speak clearly, plainly and simply, the words that thou hast laid upon our heart to the edification, the instruction, the comfort and if need be, the rebuke even of thy dear children. And should anyone be listening on and they have not experienced the new birth, they've never trusted Christ personally and specifically to be their Saviour, may this day they embrace the Lord Jesus as He is freely offered in the Gospel. So shut us in with Thyself. And Lord, though the building is virtually empty, may it be filled with the presence of the Lord as we proclaim the Word of God now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to take as my text this morning the words of verse 10 of Revelation chapter 1. It says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And I want to speak to you this morning on the theme or the subject, alone on the Lord's day, but in the Spirit. For that sums up the experience of John in this verse and indeed in this portion of Scripture. He was alone on the Lord's day, but he was in the Spirit. The context of Revelation chapter 1 is the commission of John the Apostle by the Lord Jesus Christ to write the book of the Revelation. That's what takes place in this chapter. John is told by the Lord to write what he is going to be shown in the visions of Revelation, to write them down for the churches and indeed for the church as a whole. John, of course, at this time was on the Isle of Patmos. You see it there in verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos. It's just a little island, a small island in the Mediterranean Sea, just off the western coast of modern-day Turkey. And he was there not for a holiday. Many today go to the Greek islands or the Turkish coast for a sunshine holiday. John wasn't in Patmos for a holiday. He was there, imprisoned, sent there as a punishment for preaching the gospel and adhering to the Word of God. You will see that at the end of verse 9, and I'm sure we're well familiar with that. I think it is safe to suggest that there were no church gatherings or public means of grace on the Isle of Patmos. It is possible that he may have been the only believer there. And yet, although he was alone, verse 10 tells us, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That is, the Holy Spirit was moving upon him. The Holy Spirit was working in his soul. The Holy Spirit was influencing him. The Holy Spirit was leading him. The Holy Spirit was instructing him. The Holy Spirit was communing with him. I put it to you this morning that our circumstances cannot be compared to John's. We are not being persecuted. We have not been banished to a little island because of our faith or because of our adherence to the gospel. But due to the present circumstances in our land, you find yourself at home or alone. You can't gather, as was the case earlier in the year. We're not gathering with the people of God for the public worship of the Lord. But I suggest to you that while you are alone or at home, you can still be in the Spirit. You can know the Spirit moving, working in your heart and soul, bringing you near to Christ, drawing you out after Him. And I trust and pray that that will be your experience even today, that you will be in the Spirit. Notice the day that is mentioned. He says in verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. The Lord's day is a reference to the Christian Sabbath, the first day of the week. From Christ's resurrection, from He rose again from the grave, the church under the inspired apostles was to observe the first day of the week as the Sabbath. And as you read the New Testament, you discover that it was on the first day of the week they gathered together to worship, to break bread, to listen to the word being preached, to give of their tithes to the work and witness of the Lord. And it's called the Lord's Day because the Lord rose again the first day of the week. And we observe the first day of the week as the Sabbath to remember His glorious, victorious resurrection. And on the Lord's Day, I don't think it's any accident that it was on the Lord's Day the Spirit came upon John. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. This Sabbath day, in the Old Testament it was the seventh day. In the New Testament, it's the first day of the week. But on that Sabbath, it should be set apart for the things of God. And our prayer and our desire would be that as this is a day set aside for spiritual things and the worship of God, that the Holy Spirit will come upon His people and upon His church on the Lord's Day. May that be your experience. May you be in the Spirit on this Lord's Day. But it's not so much the day that I want to focus on this morning. Rather, it's a definition. What did it mean when John was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day? What did it mean? And that's really the question that I want to answer this morning. What took place? What experience did John have when he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day? Well, there are three things that I want to show you from this passage that happened to John when he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Firstly, I want you to note the voice that John heard. Look at verse 10, the end of verse 10. It says, and heard behind me a great voice. That is when he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. He heard a great voice. The greatest voice you will ever hear is the voice of the Lord Jesus speaking to you. And that's whose voice John heard. I know that it was the Lord Jesus because verse 11 tells me so. Because that voice said, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And Jesus Christ is clearly revealed in this book as the Alpha and Omega. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. When John was in the Spirit, The Spirit directed him to the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. We might put it another way. We might say when John was in the Spirit, he was directed to the Word of the Lord. You see, my friends, that's how the Holy Spirit operates. That's how the Holy Spirit works in believers. He works through the ministry of God's Word. He does not work independently of the Word of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit does not lead you to do something that is contrary to the Word of God. No, the Holy Spirit works with the Word of God, and He directs us to the Word of God, and He applies the Word of God to our hearts and to our souls. If you turn back in your Bible to John chapter 16, John chapter 16, the first part of this chapter, records the Lord Jesus Christ teaching on the Holy Spirit. He was in the upper room the night in which He was betrayed. It was before He left the upper room, went over the brook Kidron to Gethsemane to pray, and then to be betrayed into the hands of sinners by Judas Iscariot. In the first part of this chapter, He tells His disciples that He had to go away, because when He would go away, He would give them the Holy Ghost. He speaks about the work of the Spirit. If you look at verse 13, it's a key verse in relation to the work of the Holy Ghost. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come. Do you notice that He's called the Spirit of truth? That's a title given to the Holy Ghost because He leads His people in truth. When He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself. Now, in leading and guiding the apostles into all truth, I believe it's a reference to them writing the New Testament scriptures. I believe it's a reference to the fact that the Holy Ghost would inspire them to write the New Testament books of the Bible. But there's a principle here at the end of verse 13 that is important in relation to how the Holy Ghost works with us all of His people. Is whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. He will show you things to come. He's going to guide them into truth, because whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. He speaks in accordance to what He hears from the Father and the Son. See the point that's being made by the Savior? The Holy Spirit, He leads His people, and He directs them, and He speaks to them of what He hears, namely the Word of God. That is why we as a church reject the modern charismatic experiences, because the vast majority of them have absolutely no relevance to and are not founded upon the teaching of Holy Scripture. Nowhere in the Bible do we read of the Holy Ghost coming upon an individual and them running around the church like a lunatic, or running around the church like an animal and acting like an animal. Nor do we read of them doing these other things. No, the Holy Spirit, when He comes upon a believer, and when a believer is in the Spirit, He does not take you away from the Word or have you do something which is contrary to the Word. He directs you to the Word of Christ, the Word of the Lord, the Word of God. That's how He operates. That's how He works. And when John was in the Spirit, He directed him to the Word of Christ. And He'll do the same for you. Can we notice what the word of Christ meant or was for John? The word of Christ at this time commissioned him to serve the Lord. Verse 11, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book. There's John's commission. He's being called to service. He's being called to write another book of the Bible. To complete the canon of Scripture. He's called to write the book of the Revelation. Might I suggest to you, this was now a different service for John. Yes, he had written the Gospel and some epistles, but he was also an elder in the Church of Christ, an apostle. He was a pioneer of the Gospel. He preached to the multitudes. He preached in the churches. But on the Isle of Patmos, he was restrained. He was restricted. He could no longer engage in that type of service for the Lord. But while the preacher was bound, the Word of God was not bound. And John had opportunity there to take his pen and his parchment and to write the inspired words of God. Can we say it was not only a different service, it was a lasting service? Perhaps John missed being among the people of God. Perhaps he missed preaching from the pulpit in the services to the people of God. And perhaps it discouraged his heart. I'm only pondering, I'm only imagining. I would say that was the case. John wouldn't have been human if he didn't miss the fellowship of God's people, being among them and preaching while he was there on the Isle of Patmos. Yet what he did on the Isle of Patmos, what the Lord called him to do, was a lasting service for God that has served the church for almost 2,000 years. And therefore it was a blessed service. Let me say by way of application, God's Word inspires and calls us to serve Him. And maybe He will lead us, and maybe He is leading you at this present moment in time. He is leading you to a different sphere of service. He is leading you to a different type of service. Something you haven't engaged in before is different from how you're presently serving the Lord. Maybe the Lord is leading you along those lines and in that way. He's leading you by His Word. Because when the Spirit of God leads us, He leads us and directs us by the Word of God to serve the Lord. May we serve Him with gladness, and may we serve Him continually. There may be things now that we can't do, that we once did. And the Lord would take us from that service, but He would give to us another service. That's how the Spirit was leading John. Oh, may we know something of the Lord drawing near today and leading us by His Word. Let me just make another observation before we leave this point in relation to the voice that John heard. He not only was commissioned to serve, it was a commissioning word, but it was a clear word. Do you see at the end of verse 10, it says, "He heard and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet." It's a great voice. It's the greatest voice that you can hear. The voice of Jesus speaking to your soul. But it's also a clear voice. The trumpet blast is clear. We can all identify it. Right? You don't mistake it. You'd never say when you hear the trumpet, "My, that sounds like the flute or like the guitar or like the piano." No, the trumpet's clear. When the Spirit speaks by the Word of God, my friend, if the Lord is leading you to do a particular service for Him, He will make it clear. He will show you clearly, "This is the way, walk ye therein." And can I just pause for a moment and give a little word of advice? For sometimes there may seem to be a door of opportunity opening for service. And yet you as a believer, you're not sure. You're not clear. You have no peace within your heart as to whether this is the way the Lord would have you to go or not. My friend, if you are not clear and certain, then you hold back. Because when the Lord commissions His people and when the Spirit of God leads us through the Word of God to do a particular service for Him, it's like the trumpet blast. It's clear. I can testify myself very definitely to that. I think of each time the Lord has moved me from one particular congregation to another. I think of leaving the town of Stranraer and coming to minister in Antrim. And how clear the Lord made it. And it all surrounded that one wee word, "Go." Every time I opened the Bible, the Lord seemed to have in the portion of Scripture that I was reading, the word "go." And I had prayed, "Lord, should I stay or should I go?" And that wee word "go," almost every morning for a week, in the Bible readings that we had, the word "go" was there. It was clear. Then when the Lord called us from Antrim to come to Portadown, how clear, it was even clearer. And I'm not saying that simply because I now am Portadown, but it was even clearer. The word that the Lord gave to us one Sunday evening and then one day during the week from the book of Jeremiah, it was as if the Lord had just opened heaven and spoke directly to our hearts. "Go forth unto them." And I'm saying to you that when John heard the voice of the Lord and it was leading him to serve, it was like the trumpet blast in his ear. It was unmistakable. It was as clear. And when the Lord leads us to serve Him, I'm saying to you, if you have any doubt whatsoever that it's not the Lord's will, then you hold fire, you hold back, you pray more about it. Because when the Lord is leading you and He's speaking to you from His Word, it will be as clear as the trumpet blast as to whether it's the will of God or not. When John was in the Spirit, he heard the voice of the Lord. And it reminds us and teaches us that the Holy Ghost always leads us to the Word of God. That's why you can't get by in the Christian life without the book. That's why you can't make a success of Christian living without the Bible. Because the Holy Spirit will always lead you to a knowledge and understanding and obedience of the Word, the living God. The second thing, I need to move on here and be quick. The second thing I want you to notice, when he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, not only the voice that he heard, but the vision that he saw. Verse 12, "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me." He turned. He heard the voice of the trumpet and he turned round. As is natural, you hear someone calling you. You're walking up the street and you hear someone calling your name and you turn around to see who that person or that individual is. So it was with John. He heard the voice of God speaking to him and he turned. What did he see? Verse 13. One like unto the Son of Man. He saw the Lord Jesus. He saw the Lord, the Alpha and Omega, one like unto the Son of Man. In the Spirit, he was brought to the Word of God. In the Spirit, he had a view of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say again to you that the Spirit of God always leads us to Christ. If you turn back to John chapter 16, I've already highlighted to you verse 13. But if you note verse 14 of John chapter 16, wonderful words in relation to the Holy Spirit. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Do you see how verse 13 and 14 link together? The Holy Spirit would receive of Christ. He would receive of the words of Christ. He would receive of the things of Christ, the blessings of Christ, the redemption of Christ. And he would show it unto the disciples, the apostles, the people of God. He will glorify me. The Holy Ghost never bypasses Christ. The Holy Ghost always points to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he glorifies Christ. How different the ministry of the Spirit is to what many in modern charismatic circles will tell us about the operation and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not magnify man. He does not magnify mere mortals. He does not exalt them. He glorifies and he always leads his church and his people to Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. He will glorify me. And when John looked to get this vision of Christ, he saw the Savior. And what did he see? And let me just list them for you. He saw Christ's position. Verse 13. Being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. That's verse 12. And in the midst of seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. You see, he's in the midst of the seven candlesticks. And you read verse 20 of this chapter, and you discover the candlesticks are the symbol, representation of the church of Jesus Christ. One candlestick, seven branches, speaking of how each, there's an individual congregation, but they're all joined together, and it's one church. And right in the midst of the church was the Son of Man. Friend, Christ's not to be on the outskirts of the church. He's not to be on the outside. He's to be right in the midst. And when he is in the midst, what a blessing and what a privilege it is to know that through all the difficulties and all the problems and all the trials and all the burdens that the church of Jesus Christ is called to endure on this earth, that the Lord Jesus Christ is in the midst of his people. May we ever have our mind and our eyes focused on that truth. Christ has not promised to be at the midst of civil government or in the midst of big business or the corporations that have influence and think they run and rule the world, like the media and other outlets and institutions. He's not in the midst of them. But He's in the midst of His church. That's where John saw Him. That's where He is today. He's among His people. He also saw His purity. Verse 14. His head and His hairs were white like wool, not grey with age, but white to indicate purity. He is the spotless, pure, sinless Saviour. And the white reminds us of His holy character. And because He is holy, we are called to be holy. The Holy Spirit shows us the holiness of Christ. And because He is holy, we are to be holy. In all manner of conversation, the Holy Spirit leads His people into holiness and conforms us to the image of the Holy Saviour. He saw His power and His authority. Verse 15, we're just moving down. He's mentioning them. This is the vision of Christ. The Holy Spirit reveals Christ, glorifies Christ. He reveals His position. He reveals His purity. He reveals His power. Verse 15, His feet were like undefined brass and they burned in a furnace as if they had been in a furnace. The feet speaks about power. Brass is the symbol of judgment. The Bible tells us that the Lord Himself will tread the nations underfoot in judgment. Isaiah 63 verse 3 speaks about Him trampling the nations in His wrath. Those nations that forget God shall be cast into hell. He will trample them in His judgment. Under His authority. He is the all-powerful Savior who has authority to judge the world. And we remind the nations that they rule under God, and one day they will give account to God. And if they are not subject unto the Lord, then He will trample them underfoot and trample them in judgment. The power of the Lord. How solemn the thought. Then he saw how the Lord proceeds, His procedure. Verse 16. He had in His right hand 7 stars, and out of His mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword. Hebrews 4 and 12 tells us that the word of God is quick and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. And it describes there how the Word of God works. The Word of God convicts the sinner. It shows us our sin. It reveals that we are lost and undone. We are guilty before God. We're deserving of hell and judgment. But then it reveals Christ and it invites us and encourages us. Yea, commands us to embrace and believe in Christ as He's freely offered in the gospel. And that's how the Lord works. That's His procedure for working in this age of grace. Out of His mouth proceeds that sharp two-edged sword, the ministry and preaching of the Word. By His Word, the proclamation of His Word, He speaks. He saves. He summons us unto Himself. Oh, may that we follow His example. And may the Word of God ever be our weapon in fighting the good fight and in going to war with the enemies of Christ. May we unsheath the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It's the answer. It's the answer in standing for the Lord and denouncing sin and showing men and women their state before God and what they must do to get right with God. The Word of God is our weapon. May we proceed on the basis of unsheathing it as the sword of the Spirit. In the Spirit, the Holy Ghost coming upon John, working upon him. John heard the voice of God, directed to the Word of God. He viewed or had a vision of Christ. But finally, this morning, I want you to notice not only the voice he heard and the vision he saw, but the visit that he received. The verse 17, as we come to a close this morning. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. That's John's response to the vision of Christ. He fell down as dead. Awe, godly fear, reverence. You compare John's response to those who say today they are in the Spirit. Many will tell us they're in the Spirit, and yet all they do is mockery, frivolity, vulgarity. No, when John was in the Spirit, he was filled with a godly fear, a reverence, an awe for the Lord. He viewed the person of Christ. But as he fell down as dead, there was a reassurance. Because the Lord visited him. That tells us he laid his right hand upon him. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, "Fear not." The Lord touched him. And oh, there are times when the Lord comes and touches our soul. This was a similar experience that John had to what he received on the Mount of Transfiguration when the Lord Jesus revealed himself in all his glory. He was transfigured before Peter, James and John. Moses and Elijah appeared from heaven. Peter, James and John, they heard the voice of the Father and they feared. But Jesus touched them. And he said, "Fear not." Brethren and sisters, there are many fears we will have in life. The Bible tells us we're not to fear. But there are so many times in the bodies of this flesh that we have fears. When we are in the Spirit, the Lord Jesus will touch our heart. And we'll hear those reassuring words, "Fear not. Fear not, I have redeemed thee. Thou art mine." May we know something of John's experience and be in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, on this, the Lord's day. To close our meeting this morning, we're going to listen to a closing hymn. "What though clouds are hovering o'er me, and I seem to walk alone." And after this hymn, I will briefly conclude in prayer. Let's close in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, bless the ministry and the preaching of Thy Word to our hearts. Remember those who have not the access to the internet. We pray that as they perhaps listen to other previous DVDs of messages and services, Thou'lt undertake for them and have a word in season for them too. We pray that, Lord, very soon we will be back again in the house of God for the public worship of the Lord, and that Thou will be glorified in our midst, and that each Lord's Day as we meet, may we be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Hear and answer prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.